Okay. Today we're going to talk about Hilchos Chanukah. How many mitzvahs are there in Hilchos in Chanukah? How many mitzvahs do we have to be mekayim in Chanukah? Yes? How many? Two, you say. What two?
Hallel and the lighting of
the menorah. Mitzvahs Hallel. The Rambam definitely mentions Mitzvahs Hallel, that's true. Anything else? Any other mitzvah?
Pirsimayisa.
Well, that's how you do it. I mean, that's the purpose of
it.
Latkes? Yes? Huh? Asuda. Oh. So that's a machlokas between the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam. The Shulchan Aruch says very clearly that there's no mitzvah of a Suda on Chanukah at all. As opposed to Purim, where there's a mitzvah of Suda, there's no mitzvah of a Suda on Chanukah. The Ramah quotes that there is a minhag, yesh nohagim, to have a Suda called, to commemorate the Chanukat HaMizbeach. Okay? And secondly, he also mentions a minhag that some Jews have to eat cheese. Does anybody know that? Does anybody have a minhag to eat cheese on Chanukah? You have a minhag to eat cheese on Chanukah? You lie. You really do? Huh? Yeah, your mom like brings out the cheese and says, it's Chanukah. Huh? Really? Maybe you think of like sour cream with a latkes. No? Okay, anyways. The Ramah mentions that Zeminiki cheese Zecher for Yehudit. Yehudit was the daughter of Matisyo HaMakabi. And the governor, the Greek governor, was exercising his given right of sleeping with a maiden before she gets married, and so she gave him cheese, which got him thirsty, so she gave him wine, which got him drunk, and then she took the guy's sword and lopped off his head. Okay? That's the story. That's how it's described in Maccabees. In any case, to commemorate that, so some people have the minhag, the Rosenbaums have the minhag of eating cheese. What? Wine is all the time. Wine wouldn't be unique. Anyway, so the Ramah says that if you want to have a suda on Chanukah and you want to make sure that you're mekayim some mitzvah, so you should make sure to say Torah at the table and sing Zmira at the table, in order to elevate it to a Sudas Mitzvah L'Kuli Alma to all day out. So you have to be Machmir to bring in the Torah and the Zmirot in order to elevate it L'Kol day out. And that's the Mitzvah of Suda Chanukah. Now we get to Halal, I'm not going to be discussing. Now we get to Ner Chanukah. Okay? The basic Mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, the original takana of Ner Chanukah is one single Ner, one single light in each house. Okay? And then came the next din of Mosif, right? Hello? Then came the next din of Mahadrin. And what's the din of Mahadrin? Pardon me? Zach?
Everybody lights a candle. You light one candle for each. You light an extra candle each day. And that's Mahadrin and Mahadrin. And
you're confusing me. What's the Mahadrin? It evolved, and it was the mitzvah evolved. A certain amount of time after the original takana, they started to do a din of Mahadrin. That's the only time that was like it was a real din Mahadrin. The rest is like, you know, the conscious thing, Mahadrin and Mahadrin and Mahadrin. Here's the only place it really comes from, is Hilchos Chanukah. The Mahadrin is to light a Ner corresponding to everybody in the house. Okay? So that if you had, let's say, 10 people in the house, on the eighth night you would light how many, Yoni? 10. Exactly. You didn't fall into my trap. Correct. You would light exactly 10 on the eighth night. Then came Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin, or Rosh HaTevis Maham. Okay, Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin, And Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin is to be Mosif Aholich. According to Beis Hillel, it's Mosif Aholich, right? Mosif Aholich means that you progressively add an extra nair to each night. Now, does Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin eclipse the whole din of Mahadrin? Or is Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin a Mahadrin on top of Mahadrin? And you still have the original Mahadrin. Does anybody not understand what I just said? You don't understand what I said?
No.
In other words, when they decided to outdo the first Mahadrin, to out Mahadrin the first Mahadrin, and they invented Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin of being Mosif Aholech, did that erase or make obsolete the din of Mahadrin? And you no longer light corresponding to the amount of people in your house? You're just Mosif Aholech? And then, in other words, if you'd have 10 people in the house, you'd have one Chanukiah that the Balabai would light, and that's it. Or do I say Mahadrin Mahadrin is an addition, and Mahadrin still exists? So I'm being both Mosif Aholech and lighting corresponding to the amount of people in my house. Got it? And that's actually a machlokas we've shown him. Because the Rosh is of the opinion that you light one single Chanukiah, okay, per house. Now, the Rosh is of the opinion, this is the Bali Tosfot, the Ashkenazim generally, that Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin is Mosif Aholech, and you light one Chanukiah, and you don't confuse things. Tosfos is a little bit mashma that it's in order that you to avoid confusion. You just have one menorah. The Rambam, on the other hand, understood Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin that the Balabayit will light the 10 people in his house 10 Chanukiyot corresponding to the 10 people. Okay? But
the Balabayit will light them all?
That's the lashon of the Rambam. The Rambam is the mashma that the Balabayit lights them all. Okay? So, Yoni, how did the Shulchan Aruch paskin? Like the Rambam or like the Rosh? Huh? Yes, go ahead, yes.
Which one said what again?
The Rambam, huh?
Which one said what again?
The Rambam says you light corresponding to the amount of Chanukiah to the people you have in your house, and the Rosh said one single Chanukiah.
The Rosh.
Huh?
I would guess the Rosh.
Correct. The Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Ashkenazim in this case, and the Ramah paskins like the Rambam, which is the Chachmei Sfarad. It's mamish v'nahafachu. Okay? For Hanukkah. It's an exact switch. It's a switcheroo. You would expect them, you know, to go the other way, and they switch. However, even though the Ramah does go with the Rambam, he adds a little twist to it. What's a little twist, Ezra? What's the twist that the Ramah adds? Anybody? Yeah? Each person, the Ramah says, each person should light his own Chanukiah, which is why we all light our own Chanukiyot. If we'd be following the Rambam verbatim, the Balabayit would be doing all the lighting. Okay? So the Ramah's version of Mahadrin and Mahadrin is slightly different to that of the Rambam. Okay? And the Griz, you familiar with the Griz? The Briskerov. The Briskerov. The Griz points out that there's a qualitative difference between the Ramah and the Rambam. Okay? The difference is, cover your ears for a moment. You don't want to cover your ears, I won't say it. Forget it. The difference is between Chetza and Gavra. Chetza and Gavra. Mezuzah. Menachem. Mezuzah. Is it a mitzvah on Chetza or a Gavra?
On Gavra.
How so? You attach a mezuzah to a person?
No, the person has an obligation to put it on.
Well, every mitzvah is a Gavra, no? There's no such thing as a mitzvah that's a Chetza. B'pashtut, a mezuzah is all mitzvahs are gavra on some level, but a mezuzah is a din in the chefza, meaning if I have a house of that has a doorway of a particular shape, so then that's when I'll put a mezuzah on it, meaning the house or the doorway is mechuyav in a mezuzah. So one could say it's a din in the chefza. In other words, I own this house, I put up the mezuzah, or the house is chai of a mezuzah, so to speak. Then the question is, the Chanukiah, the lighting, this Chanukiah thing, is it a din in the Gavra or the Chetzah? So the original takana of lighting one single candle in a house would seem to be, you know, tied to the house. A house needs a candle. If you are a homeless person, okay, sleeping in the park, then you would not light a Chanukiah because you don't have a house. Very much like you wouldn't hang a mezuzah because you have no way to hang a mezuzah. The same thing, you wouldn't light a Chanukiah. So the question is, when the Ramah, what the Rambam passes makes a lot of sense if you think about it. In other words, it's a natural progression from Neri Shubes, Mahadrin, and then Mahadrin and Mahadrin. According to the Rambam, they're all a din, the kiyum in the chetz of the house. The balabayit has to light it because the balabayit has a kiyum, just like akin to the din of mezuzah. But the Ramah that says that each Jew has to light a chanukiah in a house seems to be more towards, you know, gavra oriented than chetzah oriented, meaning that all of you, even though you're not the balabayit, you don't own the house. Each person, like, kind of has a chiyuv of hadlakas ner Chanukah, according to that understanding. And there are other nafkaminas that we will get to shortly. One possibility is, like, where do you place the Chanukiyot in the house? If it was be a din and chetza, it would make sense to put all the Chanukiyot in the Petach HaBayit, or the Chatzer, or the Petach HaChatzer, which is the optimal place to put it. If it's not necessarily Din L'Chatzer, but more of an expression of the individual, so the Baal Bayit might put it in the Petach HaBayit, the Petach HaChatzer, and everybody else could put it in different places around the house. Yes?
So Rama might disagree with the Lashon of the Bracha. It says, Mitzvah, Rabbi Kinyar Chanukah, so it sounds like Mary Gavra or
okay. I'm not sure. It's interesting. It's an idea. I'm not sure if you're right, but I hear you. Could be. All right. Let us talk about women and Chanukah lighting. Okay? Are women mechuyavot to light a ner Chanukah? What do you say? Machlokas between who and who? I wasn't aware that there's a machlokas.
Ramah Megasa.
You're just like throwing out that out there? Huh?
Because one says every single person has to do it.
Oh, I hear what you're saying. Well, let's say a woman owns a house.
Impossible.
Let's say you're a single young woman in college that you know has a college room. That's it. Is a woman mechuyavot to light? And the obvious answer is Daniel.
Well,
you have a 50-50 chance.
It's not a machloket.
It's not a machloket.
So then the answer is yes. Though I thought that somewhere it says that there was. There's
machloket
about whether or not that was the nes that they were part of.
Absolutely, women are mechuyavot to light near Chanukah. The Gemara says in Mefurish, there's not that much room to be cholek. The only problem is that there's a minhag Yisrael that women don't light their own Chanukiah, and all the Acharonim try to tackle that minhag Yisrael, try to understand it, because it's very difficult. It's really against the Gemara. It's against So as an example, the Mishabura quotes a couple of fun that come with the svara of Ishto Kagufo. You know, if you're talking about a married woman, obviously a choladeot, if you're a single woman, living in a house, you have to light a choladeot. There's no machlokes in that at all. But if you're a married woman, so that the minhag Yisrael is that the husband will light and his wife won't light, even though all the other bnei bayit do light. So they say Ishto Kagufo. His wife is like his own goof, meaning when he's lighting, it's as though his wife is lighting as well. That application of Ishto Kagufo is unique, meaning there's no place in Shas that it's applied in such a way. So it's Ishto Kagufo that when I do a mitzvah, it's like she's doing a mitzvah. It's more like Nogei Bedavar and other areas of halacha. It's quite a chiddush. It's based just on the fact that there's a minhag Yisrael. But the straightforward halacha would require a married woman to light as well. Rav Soloveitchik was clear on that, that halacha l'maaseh, that's what should be done. And, you know, Rav Lichtenstein also, that a wife should definitely light her own chanukiah. What about babies and lighting? Now, it could be dangerous. Right? It could be dangerous. But let's think of it in a different way. In other words, if the Baal HaBayit has a chiyuv to light keneged b'nei beito, in other words, if we look at it as more chefza oriented, and like the Rambam, where the Rambam has the Baal HaBayit going around lighting each chanukiah, okay, if it's more chefza oriented, so should the Baal HaBayit air a chanukiah for his infant child? As being one of the B'nai Bayit. It would make sense, no? Masha Enkein, according to the Ramah, you might say, well, if it's a din in the Gav, the chiv of each individual to light, so if a kid is less than the age of Chinuch, then it would, you know, it doesn't make sense for the parents to light a Chanukiah keneged, you know, a kid that doesn't have any dot, on his own. So I asked Rav Lichtenstein that question. And he felt that indeed that the halacha should be that since we pass like the Ramah, we follow Ramah, meaning that each one of us makes our own bracha and each one of us lights, that you don't light a chanukiah corresponding to an infant baby in the house. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about, yes.
Does that mean that you can't or that you shouldn't?
You can do anything you want, but if you want to follow the halacha, you don't light for a baby. You know, that's, you're following your Ramah. Alright. Let's talk about the configuration of the menorah. I'd like to share with you a personal story that might explain a little bit how I turned out. When I was young and in kindergarten, wait, I'll finish the story first. When I was young in kindergarten, the kindergarten teacher gave each one of us a lump of clay. And she taught us to take our little hands and to roll and roll and roll on the desk. My mom is remember it right now. I remember the rolling on the desk until it was a perfect ball. And then she taught us to take our little fists and so start to pounding it down into this flat disc shape. Okay, and then she showed us to take our little fingers and make indentations, counting off 8 indentations around this circumference of this disc. And in the middle, to put one for the shamish. And when it was dry and ready, I proudly painted it and proudly brought it home to my parents and presented it to my parents, this chanukiah that I made. And my father looked at it and said, "Very nice, but it's puzzle." And just crushed my little heart. And he explained that it was puzzle for 2 different reasons. The first reason is because it's made out of clay. And a chanukiah that's made out of clay, the halacha is that after you light with it one time, it becomes ma'os, because it absorbs the oil and it's just ma'os, and you shouldn't use a chanukiah out of clay unless it's glazed, and we didn't glaze it in those days. Secondly, he said it was posel because it was round. And a chanukiah can't be round because as you light more than a couple of candles, so the person, the spectator from the outside, viewing the chanukiah, it looks like a torch, because the flames kind of like, you know, form into one, and you can't discern the individual flames. So that a chanukiah that's round is puzzle. Okay, and you know, my father was basically right, but I don't think it necessarily puzzles every round chanukiah. It puzzles a chanukiah that's too small and it's round, so that when viewed straight on, you can't discern the separate flames. If it would be very large radius to the circle, and the flames are relatively small, so that a spectator can discern them, it wouldn't be such a problem. It doesn't have to be perfectly straight, but it's preferable that it's straight. And there should be enough space in between the candles that you could discern them. Does a person have to use a chanukiah, or could he just take candles and attach them to a stone windowsill. I stress stone because a few years ago a guy took it and melted it onto a plastic disposable plate. And when he came back, you know, there was a fire in his dorm. It was a very, very big deal. That was when the yeshiva was gozer, that you can't light in your dorm rooms. You have to light outside in the foyer of the pnimiyot. You're not supposed to light in your room itself. In any case, it goes without saying, you don't use plastic plates underneath the candles. But a different question is, forget about the plate. If you have individual candles, do you need a chanukiah? Is there a requirement of a structure that holds or unifies the different candles together? So I used to think for many, many years that there isn't. You don't need a chanukiah. I remember that, you know, when I was your age, the Coke came in glass bottles. So I filled up, you know, I collected 9 Coke bottles and filled them with water, and just the very top, you know, I used oil, and I had a Coca-Cola, you know, chanukiah, and I thought it was really, really cool. There are some achronim that came across very recently, I forget the names, that mention, they kind of make it up, because I don't think they have a real makor for it, that there is an Indian of having a chanukiah. I think a person could do either or. You know, if he has available a chanukiah, I guess it's better, but I don't think Mikra Din, you have to have one unifying chanukiah. I could even bring a riot from the Mishnah Brewer against those Achroinim. The Mishnah Brewer does talk about a case, can two people use one chanukiah? So he says it's mutter up until, you know, until it all connects, and then you can't tell it's two separate lights. You should want to be able to tell that it's two separate lights. But if two people can use one chanukiah, maybe it's a svara that you don't need a chanukiah. Yes, Ezra.
Let's say you have 8 candles. Do you need to put the 8 out the first night, or
do
you just put one candle out?
One candle out. That's it. Yes.
Can you extrapolate using the Ishtar Gufo concept that you can make a shaleach plus shaleach plus shaleach?
You can. Oh, so shliach is a very interesting question. Very interesting question. You can make a shliach to light Hanukkah lights. Absolutely. Almost all achronim say it. Rav Lichtenstein, develops an idea in an article that he writes about blind people lighting, that there might be an experiential aspect to the mitzvah. And therefore, it might be preferable not to make a shliach. In other words, if you can, to try your best to light yourself. Most achronim that I came across are of the opinion that if you have a choice between lighting on time with a shliach, through a shliach, or lighting later, even though it's still within the proper time, but later, that they say better you should make a shliach to light on time. Which would mean that, like most of our parents, our fathers that come quite a few hours after the Zman of Hadlaka, should always make somebody a shliach, and they would never be there to witness, except for maybe Erev Shabbos, to witness the Hadlaka Nerot. And Rav Lichtenstein felt that was wrong. He felt that the experiential kiyum of being there should outweigh the time issue, and I'm going to talk about the time issue a little bit later. Okay. Yes.
If somebody appoints a shliach to do something else, does that shliach have to light because of shlucho adam yudutra?
I'm not with you.
Well, if the woman doesn't, if his wife doesn't have to light because of light because of ishto kudufo. So if somebody were to send somebody on some errand, some mission that needed to be completed right then and there, would that person have to light?
Sorry, I still don't understand your question.
Is shlucho adam kimoso?
Yeah.
So if somebody were sending a person on a mission that needs to be completed during Zman Hadlaka.
A mitzvah.
A mitzvah. Does he need to light?
You want to know if Osik mitzvah, Potter mitzvah,
no,
the course of a Shliach Kegufa?
No, if you were to tell, I don't know, some mission
you send someone to give tzedakah to some ani that really needs the money.
Or you just send him to do something for you. Not necessarily a mitzvah.
Go buy me a newspaper.
Right, it needs to be done now.
Buy it now because the store is closing.
Right.
No.
And then shluchok Adam Kamoso. So then,
which
like, just like Ishto Kagufo.
The person going to the
right,
to the
so
store.
He should have to light.
He should what?
Does he have to light?
What's it have to do with getting a newspaper? I'm not with you.
If it's a it's something that's going to happen during the time of the Zman of the Lacha. It's happening during Zman of Lacha.
So
and
he
it's
should
take
say.
All of Zman of
he should say to me, I can't go do it because I have a mitzvah to do.
But Shlufo Kadam Kimoso, just like Ishto Kagufo, so maybe I could be Yotze with what he's lighting.
Oh, now I got it. Okay. No.
Why not?
Huh?
Why not?
Because I think, by the way, I think there's an interesting development in the sugya of Shliach Shalom Kamoto to understand what it's all about, but I'm not going to go into it right now. In other words, I think that your premise of your question is is the right question to start the whole sugya of shlichut. What's going on there? But the short answer is that if I make you a shliach to shach the carbon pesach for me, that's all you're a shliach for, just for that. You understand? You're a savant for that one issue, but not you're not me for all other things. And you can't be me, I'm sorry.
Disappointing.
Huh?
Disappointing.
Okay. Yeah. Let's talk about the place. We have to place your menorah. We spoke about the dorms. In the dorms, where would be the ultimate, the best place to place the menorah? So, normally, if we're talking in a normal situation, halachically, the best place to put a menorah is at the petach of your chatzer. In the good old days, they would have a courtyard before houses or whatever, and at the opening of that courtyard, usually there would be a doorway. At that doorway, they would then light. And someone would ask, but how could you light outside? The wind is going to blow out the candles. And the answer is the fish tanks. Right? You'd have to light with some kind of a glass enclosure, because how else could you light outside? There's almost always wind. It's rare that there should be wind. So how do you do it? So you have to, you know, you're talking about a situation. You have some kind of a glass enclosure or even individual, you know, what would you say, lanterns that you put over each candle. Rav Moshe Sternbach, are you familiar with Rav Moshe Sternbach?
Yeah.
He asked a very interesting question. He wrote a sefer called Mo'adim Bizmanim. Okay, here's an interesting question. Is a halacha hadlocha osa mitzvah vein hanocha osa mitzvah, which means that when you light the chanukiah, it has to be in the right place, because the hadlocha is koveya. You can't light it over here on your table and then move it over to the window. You have to light it where halachically it's supposed to be lit, in that situation it's supposed to be lit. So he says that if I light my menorah and my glass doors are opened or the glass covers are off when I light it, if I were to leave it alone the second I lit it, it wouldn't stay lit. And the only reason why it's going to stay lit is because I'm going to close the glass door. Otherwise it would have got blown out. So it's not the lighting, it's not a kosher lighting, because it needs the closing of the glass door in order to keep it lit. So he like asked the kasha on all the glass enclosures, all the aquariums that exist, how could you be yotze the mitzvah? I don't remember that he gives an answer. I came up with an answer that you hire a very, very little person as a shliach.
You put in those vacuums.
Right, or you could have like gloves, right. You could have gloves built into the glass doors so you could do it. Well, I always try every year to like use this like really long candle and like stick my hand a little bit under the edge of the door so that when I'm lighting, theoretically it would stay lit. But that's the issue that he raises. Anyways, if you're gonna light by the chatzer, that's what you'd have to do. If you light by the door, that's also what you have to do. Oh, there's no blackboard. Let's say this is your door over here. Okay? And here's your mezuzah. That's the inside of the house and we're on the outside. Here's your mezuzah. So the right place to light would be to put your aquarium over here, within 3 tefachim of this doorpost, next to the door, over here, not inside the door. A lot of people in America light inside the door and they close the storm door, which is at, you know, glass, and they light right inside the doorway. That's not the kiyum. The kiyum of a doorway is because of pesuminisa. And why pesuminisa? Because anybody going into the chaser or the house who have to pass by the Chanukiah. That's why the doorway is special. So if you put it inside the doorway and latch the glass door, no one's going to go in and out of that house, that door, and you know, you miss the whole key of the door. So what you want to do is either build a window over here next to your door, or an aquarium, you know, one of those glass containers, and put it right over here. Okay? So that's the best key of the doorway. How far off the ground does it have to be? Just a moment. It has to be at least 3 tefachim off the ground. And I'm not talking about the base of the Chanukiah. I'm talking about the flames themselves. Should be at least 3 tefachim off the floor, and should be lower than 10 tefachim from the floor, which is about the height of a table, is 10 tefachim. In other words, the flames, lichatchila, the best place to place it is that it shouldn't be lower than this, but it also shouldn't be higher than that. And the reason for that is that it shouldn't appear as though the Chanukiah is there to give light, meaning that you could see to be able to, you know, navigate in the room, but it's there for Pisuminisa, so you don't want to have it like table height or higher, because people might think that you're using it for reading or something else. So the Takana is that it should be, the flame should be below table level, lichatfila. And that's if you're lighting over there by the doorway. However, if you light in a window, so rarely do you have a window that's from ceiling to right to floor. Usually windows like this window, okay, is already above 10 tefachim. Then you have no choice. I said lichatfila, it's better to light below 10 tefachim, but you're not going to sacrifice. Magen Avraham says you don't sacrifice Pisuminisa for the people see it outside in order to put it lower if they wouldn't. If you have a window that's higher, or even this high, whatever. So you put it above 10 tefachim, that's okay. You're not allowed to light your menorah more than 20 amot high. And if we assume, for argument's sake, that each amma is a half a meter, so you're talking about 10 meters high, approximately, a little bit more than you with me this? On 30 meters, 30 feet, to translate into feet. 10 meters is approximately 4 stories. You don't light a menorah above 4 stories. This is the halacha brought down in the Gemara, brought down in Shulchan Aruch. You don't like the menorah that high, because lo shalat ba'ena, people don't look up that high. Okay? And therefore, you shouldn't light. Now, what if you're in an apartment building, and you live on the 5th floor? So what are you supposed to do? So there are three different solutions. One solution is a Rabbi Yosef, who says light in the stairway. And his chiddush is that the stairway is Rashud Harabim as far as Pesuminis is concerned. Okay, that's his assumption, that's his chiddush. The second solution would be to light in the entrance to the apartment building and look at the front door of the apartment building as a Knisala Chatzer. Okay? In many countries, like America, usually it would be stolen very quickly, right? If it was there, unless you had a doorman to watch it, it would be stolen. Another downside is that the Chazon Ish believes that a foyer of a building is not a normal din of chatzer, because a chatzer, according to the Chazon Ish, as far as Hilchos Chanukah, he applies it, equates it to Hilchos Shabbos, that it has to be an area that everybody's allowed to use. Like to do their wash there, to pluck their chickens there, to all kinds of whatever a person does in his chatzer, right? And in the foyer of a building, you're really not allowed to do anything, even sometimes to leave a bicycle there. The tenants sometimes, you know, complain. So according to Chazon Ish felt that's not allowed. But most other poskim feel that the foyer or the entrance of the building would be a good kiyum as far as lighting. Rav Lichtenstein is of the opinion that one may light above the 5th floor, and for two reasons. Number one, it's possible, the reason why the Gemara said lo shalat ba'ina, that people don't look above the you know, 20 amo, is simply because there wasn't anything above 20 amo in the good days of the Gemara. In other words, they didn't build buildings that were 4 stories high, generally speaking. So there was no reason to look up there anymore. But nowadays, where there is stuff above 20 amot, so people look up. Another reason why it'd be okay is quite often when you have one apartment building, you have another apartment building across the way or across the street. So people looking out from their apartment building, even in a direct line, even if you don't believe they don't look up that much, would still see Yechanukiah, and then you'd be Makayim Persumi Nisa with that. Question so far, yes.
So one time I stayed in a hotel in Israel for Hanukkah, and they had a table in the lobby for everyone to light their Hanukkah there. Is that for everyone? Because that's like the main place where people pass through. It's not showing you outside, it's showing
you. I think you could be Yotzel. I think you could be Yotzel like that in the lobby.
I mean, like, that seems to get the point. I mean, obviously, it's not outside, but it's as much as people are going to see it.
Yeah. When I once had the opportunity of being in a hotel room, I lit in the window of the hotel room, and I waited there until they burnt out. But I think you could be Yotz in the lobby as well. Yeah, Daniel.
With the doorway thing and putting it to the left of the doorway, isn't the whole point for me? So why is it, like, I understand they want certain the Gemara's days above the 20 hours. I understand people didn't look above 20 hours. But if the whole purpose is Sirmi Nisa, and if the guy puts it in the doorway wherever he lives, and people see it, meaning it's not being blown out, the candles are lit, somebody sees it, is it Sirmi Nisa being Makayim? Like, isn't he?
He is Makayim Persumi Nisa, for sure. But it's not a kiyum of a doorway. In other words, if you ask me, I could either light it in a window or in my doorway. So the halacha is that the doorway takes precedence over the window.
But
why? Because people will walk in and out past it all the time, and therefore that's the reason for the takana. But that the takana is, the halacha is, the doorway is better than the window. So I'm saying if you close your storm door, your glass door, and you lock it and put the menorah there, of course you makayim the mitzvah, but it's a kiyum of a window, not so much of a doorway. Yeah.
If the door to the house, like the only door to the house is on the side of the house, so
and people walking won't see the door at all from the side.
Yeah.
So then you light in a window for sure. Yes.
It's always bothered me. There's more than one way to do the parts of the mitzvah. Why is the original? Why is the immediate thought process to light something? Why can't a mitzvah be like to tell?
Blow something up.
Well, not really that violent, but
just tell people
about it. Why couldn't you do the kind of mitzvah by just telling 10 people on the right?
That's already philosophy. I mean, Chazal chose this form. It obviously has to do with the nace that happened in the Mikdash about the nace Pach Hashem. Yes?
So according to Ravar, would you say that you're allowed to do Sukkah about 20 Amos?
According to
Ravar, would you say that you're allowed to do Sukkah about 20 Amos? According to Ravar, that says that it's because you're not going to look up and see the Sukkah.
No, so I said, Rav Lichtenstein says there are two reasons. Okay? And also, with the Sukkah thing, the problem is that a person standing in the sukkah might not look up. You know, you don't look straight up. That's true. It's less mukar. Yes, sir.
Just out of curiosity, does Rav Lichtenstein put a limit on, you know, how high up you can light within the apartment building, or does it not?
You mean 100th floor?
Yeah.
That's an interesting question. I don't know. I assume he doesn't. I don't know. I mean, you're right. If you like, you're in that like the tallest building in the world. Is that in Kuwait now? Let's say you're on the
Dubai.
In Dubai, let's say you're on the 1,000th floor, and like no one's going to see you. There's no other building on that height. I don't know. It's a good point. Yeah. No, look, the truth is that it's not as if when you don't have Pesumi Nisa that you're parted from the mitzvah. The Gemara says, Bizman Sakana, in the time that there's danger, and you're worried that if you light a Chanukah in your window that the Goyim are going to attack you and pillage your house, etc., etc. So you're supposed, then the Gemara says, Menicho al Shulchano v'dayo. You put it on your Shulchan, and that's enough. And you're also with the Persumi Nisa of the people in your house, in Bnei Beito. That's what you do. Or like, let's say, Lo'olenu, you live in South Africa, and you have these brick walls in front of the house, and no one could see any of the windows of the house, right? So you still mechuyav in the mitzvah, and the Persumi Nisa is for the people indoors. So I guess if you're on the 100th floor, that's what you would have to do. Yeah.
Not only that. Couldn't the floor be from where you are, as in the more time.
Yeah, but it's recognized that Pesumi Nisa is for the people outside.
So, but let's say you have the option of lighting it. I guess it's sort of the stairway, but lighting right outside your house. I guess that would probably be preferable for the people walking.
Yeah, but it would have to be near your door or near the opening of your
chutzpah. Like a little box next to your door.
Yeah, I would imagine, yeah.
Let's say like for an indoor area, also like let's say like a mall, and it, I don't know, let's say in theory, or it's like a house.
Let's say you're a homeless person and you live in the mall.
Yeah, I'm one of the tenants, but you know.
I would put it in the doorway. That's where I put it, in the doorway. Okay, one last halacha and then we're going to end for tonight. In the Beit Knesset, the din of the menorah in Beit Knesset is to put it in the south side of the Beit Knesset, connected the place where the menorah in the Mikdash was placed. It's a separate takana to the lighting of the menorah. In other words, if let's say one of you was fortunate enough to be chosen as the chutznik that's going to be lighting the menorah in our Beit Midrash, you'll make a bracha, you make up all the brachos, and you would light, but that wouldn't potter you from lighting in your own room. Okay, or the gabbai in the Beit Knesset that makes a bracha in the Beit Knesset when he lights, when he goes home to his house, he'll light again. It's a separate din. The Beit Knesset is not a house, and normally it wouldn't be chayev, and you don't put it in the window of the Beit Knesset. You put it in the tzad hadarom of the Beit Knesset. So as far as placing, it has a different din. Yes? That's the description. That's what Chazal will call there, that's where you're supposed to put it. Okay, the She'iltot says you have the mezuzah on one side and the menorah on the other side, and as you enter your house, you're surrounded by mitzvah. But that's an explanation as to the takana. That was the takana. Yes, Shmuel?
So what should we do in our dorms?
So in the dorms, you have a situation where you could light next to the door, the entrance to the dorm. The entrance to the door to the binyan. That's what I mean. To your binyan. Alternatively, you could light it outside your room, if people from the outside could see through the glass and see the doorway of your room. So you could, you know, light it outside the door of your room. Okay. Yes. They're going to construct like a shelf.
Should each roommate
so to give room for a lot of chanukiyot, you know, by the glass doors. Yeah.
Should each roommate have their own chanukiyot?
Yeah. Unless you're a Sephardi. Like my roommate was a Sephardi at the time. He still is. And Sephardim follow the Rosh, where only the father lights at home. So the question was, should they be lighting also in the dorm or not? So he followed the psak of Rav Yosef, which was, go to your Ashkenazi roommate and be mitzvatef and be mitzvarf with him and answer amen to his bracha. Okay, next week we'll do Hanukkah part 2.